Welcome to episode 178 of the Better With Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I'm a run to PB coach, and I'm back for a very special early week edition this week with fellow run to PB coach Zach and Newman. Mate, how are you?
I'm going well, Christopher. Yes, yeah, it's a bit of a spin out. We're all out of sync with our days jumping on a Monday, so it's gonna be fun to chat and fresh off the weekend running. So dissecting our Saturday sessions and will be a bit more informative now that we can remember them. But we've also got a very special guest who is, we're chasing that feeling, episode 3. So our mini series, which we've incorporated into the podcast, we've got Elise Beacom back on the airways. So welcome back to the show, Elise.
Thanks, Zaka. Thanks, Chriso. I love how vague that feeling is because it could be anything, which, you know, it could be a disastrous feeling, but let's see.
Yeah, we're just chasing a feeling. You
know, yeah, whatever. A feeling. Any
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah, just
soreness, anything. Cramps, whatever.
Soreness, joy, moodiness, you know. It can be a different one every week.
Yeah.
Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, well, with marathon training, it feels like that days and weeks just mold into one. Like you just run, you sleep, you eat, you run, and then it's just, I don't know. I just remember back where, yeah, that feeling can be a lot of just completely tired and hungry. hungry. Well, last time we spoke, we were 7 weeks out,
I think. Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. So we're now 5. Gearing up for a race. Well, no, you had a race penned in. Yeah, you had the race the following week. So we're going to get to that. Got on the track. I know you were fishing around for a few tips on Friday night about 5K track racing, and I don't know why you came to me because my advice was a bit more on the aggressive side of like not sitting in and not taking any laps because I tend to be a bit selfish in that race. But we'll get to how that played out. But before that, you rolled a bit of a tune-up session. Some 200s came up, 10 by 200s at 5K effort.
Yeah, so I guess the idea behind that one was a little sharpener, a little bit just getting into that feeling again of of 5K effort on the track and what that should feel like doing a 200. So I was kind of trying to run those in like 42, 43 seconds, and then just jogging the other 200 for the recovery. So it was just more about like getting in tune with that pace for the weekend, hopefully getting a bit of muscle memory and hopefully being able to replicate it on Saturday. But the funny thing was, literally, it was such a stormy day that Wednesday, and I'd gone for a surf in the morning with a friend who'd been staying over, and I thought I'd sort of timed my session perfectly between the storms, but I literally like stepped one foot onto the track and it was just like the heavens opened up. Like the heaviest rain, but it felt like kind of biblical and epic. So I liked it.
Yeah, you need the film crew there so you could get the epic footage.
Yeah, exactly. Montage. There are a few people practicing their hurdles too. We gave each other the like the knowing look, like, what are you doing out here?
Yeah. So just for context, that's on Jan 3 Wednesday?
Yes. Yeah,
Wednesday before a Saturday race.
Yes.
So that was a planned kind of like K's wise for the week. What did you end up with?
92.
92. So a little bit backed off because you had a race?
Yeah. It was it actually should have been a bit lower than that, but I tacked on a few Ks on the long run, which I'll get into later. I was a bit naughty.
What wheels did you have on the track in the Racing slicks for the rain.
I had the Nike Vaporfly 2s. Not my white pair, luckily.
And that's what you were going to wear for the race?
Yeah. It was really generous. They, because a lot of these track races, you have to wear spikes, but there was a no spikes necessary policy, which is really good. And I think it just supports getting a lot more people on the track who wouldn't usually run a track race. So that was awesome.
Yeah, totally agree. I think somewhere might have been interstate were sanctioning, like, yeah, even some of the races that were definitely people not going for qualifiers, and it really restricted their field. And I think it really, like, yeah, I just running's just opened up to a lot of new people, and the shoe technology's really helping that. So, like, why not embrace it and let them run on the track with them? So,
coming away from those 200s, mate, or swimming away given the rain, was this a confidence booster, or was this one that we did on heavy legs where you're thinking, oh dear, what have I got myself into on Saturday?
It actually felt really fine and comfortable. I was more like, I have no idea how to pace a 5K race. So it was kind of a confidence booster in that sense, more like, what does this actually feel like? But yeah, no, it felt like a pretty easy session, which was good. And because I guess it was only at 5K effort, was nothing like faster than that. It was, the reps were over pretty quickly.
And so you haven't done a 5K track race before, or you
no,
have?
No, this is my first.
Okay.
That's why I was texting Zaka on like Friday night, just, you know, watching Top Gun 2 or something. And texting Zaka being like, hey, so you got any tips for me? Yeah. The tips didn't play into my favor. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
And heading into the race, how did the torrential downpour on Wednesday prepare for all that disgusting humidity on a Saturday?
I know. The weather was feral on Saturday. I mean, it was a beautiful day, but it was like 30 degrees, super humid. Yeah. My race was at 4:30 in the afternoon, so really had the peak heat there. And yeah, I mean, it felt pretty hot. I did a shorter warm up than usual just because I felt so warm already, but I don't know if that was a good idea because it takes a bit of grease to get these wheels going usually. So yeah, but they had a sprinkler out on the track, which was very welcome. But yeah, very sweaty. I was so grateful I wasn't doing 25 laps. 12 and a half was enough. Yeah.
It's just so exposed on the track. Like, you've got nowhere to, no cover, obviously, and you're just right in there. So when you finish the warm-up, are you, like, doused in sweat going, how am I going to, like, really get rolling at pace this, you know, in these conditions? Or wasn't it too bad after the warm-up?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, we're all a bit, like, glistening. But I just, like, I felt like I couldn't get going the whole race, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think this is where the marathon legs sort of came into it. So we, like, the gun went and then sort of settled into a pace. And then I found this woman who was, looked like she was going pretty quick, and I was like, oh, I'll latch onto the back of her, because Zach literally told me, do no work for as many laps as possible and until the last four. Anyway, so we tried that, and then it was really silly. I was lapping my watch through the 400s, but I just wasn't looking at it because I was like, this feels fine. And then I did look down at one point because I was like, oh, it feels like we're slowing down. And then I looked at one of the laps and it said like 93. And I was like, this is way slower than I was hoping to go. And so, because there was a bit of a headwind on the back straight, I think I was just very comfortable sitting in. But a realization after was like, Elise, it's a 5K race. You're not meant to feel comfortable. You know, it's not like a half marathon where you're kind of biding your time. Like maybe the first K you want to settle a bit, and the second K too. But anyway, when I realized and kind of overtook her, and then she actually ended up DNFing, which is a real shame. And then I had the last six laps by myself, but it was almost like I ran out of laps, and like I felt like I could have kept running, but not necessarily faster.
Did you have, I mean, it's hard when the field, you don't know a lot about the field and who's going out at what pace, and like you would have kind of needed to know that. I probably assume there would be three or four people that you could latch onto in that pack, but it was literally one person there, and then there must have been a bigger gap for, you know, to
So I came fourth overall, so there were like three guys ahead and there was a little gap between us, but maybe I should have just gone out a bit harder, I don't know. But it was almost tricky in that heat. You know, maybe if it was a different race, I was like further back in the field, I might have been able to chase people down a bit more, but I was kind of a little bit stuck by myself.
It's also hard in a, like, whilst you wanted to have a hit out, it's in the back of your head, you kind of have this thing where, like, I'm training for a marathon, I'm a marathoner. And whilst it means something, it's not like you were throwing the absolute kitchen sink at it. So it's, whereas I think, if you knew you had like a 3 or 4 mile 5Ks and this was like the first one, you might have tried something different, and then you would have known that, you know, you could have pushed on a bit harder. But like, you know, it's probably just having that planned bit of a down week, and just a chance to tick the legs over and get the race. Did you still get the race nerves and that sort of beforehand?
A little bit, but not very much, to be honest. I think it was more like, because 5K on the track is like totally out of my comfort zone, which is why I wanted to do it as well, because I think it's good to experience different things. But I think you're right about not being able to really push hard because it didn't mean much to me. I just kind of thought it was a cool event, wanted to jump in. But you know, if you look at my training, it's been training for the absolute opposite kind of event.
And your running strengths are further as you go, and you can in, and you can just really get on the pace and hold it. So yeah, it's, you probably, it doesn't really give you an indication of what you're going to run in 5 weeks as well. Even if you ran, you know, a minute or two clearly, it's like, it really doesn't mean anything in a sense that what you're going to deliver at Osaka. But it's still cool to see you get on the track. In the LKSD, is it, kit?
Oh, yeah, LSKD.
LKSD.
Zach is a big fan. Wears it all the time.
I've been seeing them doing a bit of running gear now. So, you jumped on the bandwagon. Or is this an influencer deal?
They did send me that. But I actually legitimately enjoyed wearing that kit. It was, it's really like, the fabric's really light and technical, and it was good in the heat too.
We'll send them an invoice after this.
So if there's some impressionable people listening to this podcast, Elise, is there a discount code that they can put in to purchase their kit? Or
No discount codes, sorry.
Hey, Chriso's got some questions about the long run, because looks like you had a big group, and coming off a track race, not easy, and night, you know, 4:30 p.m. So morning run after that can be challenging. But Chriso, do you
That's
have some questions?
that's kind of what I was going to ask. But I suppose a couple of things coming off the so afternoon track, in a basically an oven, it can be hard to put the effort in to recover properly. But firstly, how did you pull up for the long run? So what are you feeling, $1 million going out there, or a bit stale?
Actually, I felt all right. I felt all right, and I think it was because maybe I hadn't completely rinsed myself on the track. And maybe because I'd freshened up a little bit in the week as well. And mentally I had a like an easy long run on the program, which was the first one of those I've had for like weeks. So that was really good to wake up and be like, okay, just easy
Oh, no
pace,
session in
whatever
it.
it ends up being, which was great. And a friend of mine, Corrine, who's also doing Osaka Marathon, she drove up from Melbourne to like join the River Runners group, which is really nice. So she came along too, and that gave me a little bit of more pep in my step to get out with her.
Tell us
Yeah.
about the River Runners. So they, do you guys meet? Is that going every Sunday from that location?
The location's kind of changed, but a lot of it is around the river, as the name might suggest.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's usually kind of a 7 or 7:30 time slot. They often do park run as well at Ballyang on Saturdays, and it's just like a little Facebook message group. So if there's anyone in the Geelong area who's interested in coming for a run, just send me a DM and I can put you in the group.
Cool. No, that's always good to know that, and even through summer, sometimes people head down to that area and just like want to loop in and have a group to jump in for a run with. I did see your cool down back on Saturday was like 30 minute cool down. So
Yeah, I was just chatting with a friend and she wanted to do like 6Ks. I was like, okay, I'll come for that.
chase a few extra Ks.
Yeah, a few extra Ks.
Nice. 30K, 4:51. So it's a good way to finish the week off a race.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. And it was meant to be 25K on the program. I think it was my coach's birthday that day, so I was kind of hoping he didn't notice. But yeah, and usually, honestly, I am the biggest goody two shoes ever when it comes to my program. Like, I never add extras. Like, I don't even think that it's an option to go rogue. I'm like, do what I'm told. But I don't know. On Sunday, I was just like having fun with my friends, and I thought I'll just finish it off.
So when you've got your coach's hat on, Elise, and this happens with one of your athletes, how many strikes do you kind of give? Like, when do you pull them up and say, "Hey, hang on, you're because this happens to me sometimes. I look at Strava and I see someone's done 2 hours. I'm like, geez, hang on, I better check final. I'm pretty sure we're not up to 2 hours. And I look at it, it's like 90 minutes off now, 45. And then you kind of make a judgment call. As to this is me personally, as to like maybe the week, maybe what how they've been going, like, and whether you can sort of let that one slide. I'll bring it up, but I'll also be on watch to be like, hang on, this can't become a habit because it can spiral out of control. I know this. You seem like you got you're keeping your head and you're not going to go and just keep adding pays here, but it can spiral out of control when you start adding stuff in.
Yeah, totally. I reckon if you're upfront about it, it's good. Like I told my coach after, I was like, oh, sorry, I ran a little bit extra. So I think honesty is a good policy. But yeah, it's probably maybe just giving a little bit of a advice or a little bit of a nudge as to, oh, the purpose of this run was X because you need to recover for this session you've got on Tuesday or whatever. And
Yeah.
I think when you explain the like why it was meant to be as it was on the program, that's probably a good approach rather than just being like, you did something naughty.
Yeah. But it's also, yeah, looking at like why they've done, like, because if someone someone's like in your instance, maybe if you're just reading, you're going, oh, wasn't maybe happy with the 5K. Are you like trying to make up for something? Are you chasing K's? So yeah, the context helps when you have that communication. What about you, Chris, though?
As far as going rogue, it
Yeah.
depends who does it, Zaka. I think there's a probably another look. What you said is pretty accurate. Another thing I like to consider as well is that sometimes the athlete's sort of silent way of saying that they're ready for some extra Ks. So once again, the context really is important. So I'll have a look at it and go, is this just is this something they do all the time? Is this just a one-off, or are they really just trying to demonstrate like, hey, I really can, an extra 3 or 5K wouldn't be, too much to ask on a long run here. So yeah, I think there's probably something I've done from time to time just to demonstrate like, hey, I really think I can do more. And I'll
Let me
sort
in,
of
coach.
yeah, no comment. I don't want to get into trouble, but yeah, like, and it's also like something like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to make sure I work extra hard in my recovery and make sure that I'm right for next week, because I don't want to compromise what I know is already in the plan because I've gone and done this extra 20 or 25 minutes. And look, not that I do it very often, but yeah, I like to try and look at it from both sides of the lens and not just me being a grumpy coach going, what did you do that for? That's just dumb. Because that's the easy thing for me to go into, particularly if I'm a bit tired or if it's something I look at late in the day. But yeah, once I understand the reason, I think it's just worth asking an extra question or two. One of the best things I think ever happened to me was when Brady was writing my plan for me, and this would be, oh, this would probably be about 7 or 8 years ago, and I was just coming off injury. It was a stinking hot day. And we'd made an agreement that I could go and do my local fun run, but just if I did it easy. Anyway, I didn't. I went out and did it. I would say a bit of a number on myself. It wasn't a very impressive time because it was really hot, but the heart rate data was in the 180s, and you didn't have to be real smart to see what had happened. And anyway, all Brady sent to me was just, hey, mate, tell me about today. And basically let me tell the story. But I knew what that meant. And that was like, oh, I'm really in trouble. So yeah, he gave me the chance to explain it, and his follow-up questions around how was I feeling and how did I think that might impact next week, and did I think that that was the smartest thing to do given how the last 4 to 6 weeks had gone. So yeah, it was really sort of putting it back in my court. But I think just from that experience, I learned so much, and it sort of just helps me be a bit more present in the moment when I have athletes do that rather than throw the toys out of the cot and go, what are you doing? So yeah, no, it's yeah, one thing that he probably doesn't even remember, but it's something I've always taken with me. So thanks, mate.
Yeah, I reminds me of a quick. I won't go into the deep story, but a guy who I was trained in a big training group who was quite elite and had was carrying an injury and said to the coach on the like during the week, yeah, look, I'll just jog around like for points for the club at an AV race, and he's like, no, you're not jogging. You know, like anyway, this guy went and jogged, didn't jog. He was like in the lead pack for the first like 3 days. And then he ended up in the result. Like, you're over the line, you're gonna be in the results. And we get to training on like Tuesday, and everyone had known what this guy had, and the coach just straight away pulled him aside and said, so what did you do on the weekend? And like he pulled up the footage, it's on like Aspic TV of the guy in the lead pack. And yeah, and this coach was a lot more ruthless, and fair to say, yeah, he probably wasn't in the group for much longer.
Oh no.
I mean, it was pretty in that at that sort of level. It's when you go into that extreme where you're like you're coming off an injury and then you go out and flat out race and potentially put yourself in a position where you're going to get further injury. And it's also kind of disrespectful to the coach and the group and the environment. So it doesn't set a good precedent. So for everyone else to, so yeah. Anyway, that'll all be anonymous for those people.
Yeah.
92K week, 92K week, at least.
Yes, 92Ks. I must say, like, Sunday afternoon, like late afternoon, early evening, I felt actually really tired. And I think maybe the tiredness from Saturday hadn't quite hit me in the morning on Sunday. And you know how there's a little window where there's no DOMS or anything, and you're like, oh, maybe I'm fine. So yeah, I did feel pretty tired on the Sunday. And to Crusoe's point about doing a bit of extra recovery stuff, I made sure to have Monday like totally off, no gym, no anything, and really chilled and tried to do all the like the foam rolling and all of those things to put a little full stop on the week and hope that the injury gods didn't strike me down during the next week.
And speaking of some of the things you put together in this week
Yeah.
just gone, boy, there's some big stuff here. So, like the 5 by 10 minutes at half marathon effort with 3 minutes recovery, like that is a meaty run. And notice in your notes there that you felt like you may have gone out a little bit hard. But what I really want to ask, and we'll go into the numbers in a sec, but coming off the back of the 5K race, then transitioning back to that half marathon effort, do you think you went out a bit quick because you still had those 5K legs in there and you're like just going back to that half marathon gear actually felt really easy to begin with?
Yeah, maybe that's right. I haven't really thought about why. But yeah, it's certainly early on, and then it was like, okay, the fatigue kind of built up a bit, and then it felt kind of hard towards the end. But yeah, that could be a reason for it for sure. And I must say, when I saw this on paper, I was really intimidated by this session. I was like, oh, because I've done 4 by 10 minutes, like once before. And I was like, five, is that a typo? Like, what's going on
I haven't
here?
seen that being done before. So I think, you got the mantle there. That is a huge workout. 3 minute
Yep.
recovery. What are you doing in that 3 minute? How slow is the jog?
It was kind of like whatever I needed. I don't really, I reckon the first jogs were probably slightly under 5 minute Ks, and then maybe the last ones were a bit over. Yeah, but yeah, I wasn't like floating or anything. It was just recover for the next rep.
Did you have any drinks or any gels for this one, or?
No, I didn't. I actually maybe should have just to practice it, because with the warm up and cool down, it ended up being 24K of volume. So it was pretty big. I did have some company, which was really great. A new friend of mine, actually, Kate Smythe. You might know
Oh,
that
cool.
name.
Yes, we do. Former Commonwealth Games representative, Kate Smythe. It's a name
Went to the
drop again for
Olympics as
us.
well. I know. It's actually really nice. We like met in Gippsland where we were teaching our Kelpies how to herd sheep, and then got talking and realized she lived in the suburb next to me and we're both into running. And then later on realized that she's an
Bit of a
Olympian, but
Google, and then you fall off your chair.
yeah, I know. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, so she came for the session as well, and we sort of set it up where I had to try and like chase her down on the turnaround, which was cool. Like, it really helps to have something to focus on other than your watch.
Did Kate run at Geelong for XCR this year? Last year?
I think she did,
Yeah, I saw her at Bendigo.
So yeah, obviously still moving well. You start finish at the chocolate Great Ocean Road Chocolatier, is
Yeah, the chocolate
it?
factory.
That is rough when you're doing 5 by 10 minutes. But yeah, Forest Road. No, what's the surface?
Road, yeah, like bitumen.
It's bitumen. It's not
Yeah.
I've seen,
Copped
I
a
feel
little
like
bit of
Ali's done some
abuse.
workouts along there.
Yeah, Ellie, Toby, that crew do some long tempos. It is really good for a long out and back because there's kind of few undulations, but it's not crazy. and the road just goes forever, and there's heaps of cyclists and stuff. But because it's so busy up here at the moment, there are a few cars on the road, a few more than I would like. And yeah,
Feel
one
safe the
guy,
whole time?
not fully. It's kind of like that awkward, like crossing over to the other side of the road during the rep style. And a guy in a van like gave me a mouthful.
Oh, what?
Yeah, bit of a copped a bit of abuse, but I just I literally like gave him my biggest smile and waved.
That's, yeah, kill them with kindness.
Yeah, but other than that, it was all right.
Those, yeah, solid session. Like, you must be, did you come away from that feeling like you're going in, you know, six at that point, you're what, six, a bit over 6 weeks out, you're in the real meat of the marathon workouts. Do you come away from that going, yeah, I've got a few more of these to like really put the icing on the cake over the next few weeks, but you're in a good spot?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was like a little bit like slightly disappointed that it felt hard in the last two, but yeah, all in all, it wasn't like I blew up completely. It was just it felt like I was pushing a bit hard in the last two reps. But yeah, no, definitely a comp like the whole week has been a big confidence boost, really. Like especially the Sunday. So yeah, it was good to sort of come off that down week and hit some big ones this week.
You handed out a couple of sets of life lessons this week, mate. Not only to the truck driver who, you know, gave you a bit of a mouthful, but I believe there was a group of kids as well that you might have spent some time with as well. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I will. So I did a double this on Saturday, I think. And was just out there for a trot. I can't remember if I was listening to something or anyway, I was just in my own world. And then there were like these three kids. They were probably 13 or 14. They had boogie boards and just like walking down the road. And as they passed me, they like yelled something. Like it was something stupid, like sexy lady or something like that. And I was like, oh God. I kept running and I was just running other direction. And then I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna go back and I'm just gonna have a friendly chat with them. And I'm not gonna be confrontational. I'm just gonna like go back and have a chat. So I turned around, went back to them, and I just said, oh, hey, like, excuse me. I just wanted to let you know that, like, if you yell at a woman while she's running, it can be quite disrespectful and she might not feel that safe. So, you know, maybe rethink that next time. And one of them was like, oh, it was a TikTok video. Like, I'll show you. I'm like, no, it's cool. I believe you. But they're like, I'm sorry. And one of them was like, I'm sorry. Like they kind of responded well to it. And then I just, yeah, turned the other way and went off. 'Cause I was like, I don't know. They're just so young and impressionable at that age. And I'm like, well, if you can say something and it maybe gets through a little bit, they're gonna be, you know, grown men one day. And so I guess it's a good little lesson to share.
Yeah, and just for other, like flying the flag for other people that would have, like, how, who knows how many people have done that too. And,
Yeah.
you know, they've now got to think twice about it and go, well, yeah, this is actually not right to be doing this. So yeah, good on you. Like, it's, yeah, I mean, we and Chriso can't sort of put ourselves in the shoes of what it's like with, you know, and when we run, we feel, generally we feel pretty safe, but we don't have
Yeah.
to think this sort of stuff so much. I mean, no, it can happen, like probably happens to you, Chriso, more than me, but it, yeah, it's just, it's something that is great that people like yourself calling it out.
Yeah, I think I commend you, Elise, because like three, let's say 13, 14-year-old kids. And had you not gone back, they would have had a bit of a laugh about it. And thing I've noticed with young kids, if you give them an inch, that they'll take a mile. So the next time that would potentially come up, they might try and do something a bit more just to be a bit more noticeable. So the fact that you've gone back and had a chat to them, and a respectful chat too, because it'd be quite easy to say something offensive and inflame the situation, because hey, they're just kids and it's annoying. But I think, the fact that they've actually apologized, I'll think twice about whether they'll do that. And that's a step in the right direction. So good on you, mate.
Oh, thanks, Chriso. Yeah, so like often that stuff happens really in the heat of the moment, and you often actually don't get the chance to say anything back or to have that conversation. And I was like, well, I have time. I'd better go and take the opportunity this time.
And you do it in a controlled manner, and then they can sort of go, well, what are we actually doing here? Like, why did we even do this? Like, this is silly. This is a nice lady. Like, we don't need to be. Like, yeah, that's crazy. But I can't even imagine, like, as a female, like, having to think so much about even when you're going for a run and approaching, like, if there's 3 or 4 miles ahead, you don't sometimes it must you have to be thinking, oh, like, should I be going further around, or like, do I have to change my route? And like, those sort of things are really, and more we do to try and, guess, prevent this sort of behavior, hopefully it makes it easier, but it's definitely challenging, no doubt, for you.
Yeah. Couple of exciting things on Sunday, mate. Not only was it a top quality long run, but I think Zachary will be thrilled at this. You celebrated the long run with a Calippo as well, which
We did.
we will get to that. But mate, tell us about this long run. I'm having a look here and I'm seeing the best part of what, 32 Ks of volume, and 25 of it was just a tick over 4 minute pace. That's sharp. And that's we haven't had a light, easy week. Like, you've still got this half marathon session in your legs, and we're just going roll a casual 32K, average 4:12 for the whole thing. And I mean, we're talking about confidence building. This would have shot it through the roof, surely.
I was definitely happy with this run. I think sometimes when you start a big session like this, you don't feel that great at the start and you think, oh, how is this going to go? But you just have to sort of hang in there, and often it does turn around. But I was so grateful to have Scotty help me out on this run. Like, having someone with you for something like this, I feel like I got so much more out of myself just because he was there on the day.
Scotty was at the Surf Coast Track Club. I reckon I saw a photo of him pop up with Brady before his race that jumped in the 10. And so you're having a training partner like that, where you can just like lock in, and like your splits, you're just sitting in these, like, there's a range in there, like the mid sort of 15K to 25, where you're just ticking off 401s, 404s, like, just you're locked in. Like, do you feel like, where was your mind at? Were you in those, like, that? It's just, are you still chatting away, or are you just like working?
We chatted a little bit here and there, but mostly it was just like in a flow state, really. But I was surprised. It felt really comfortable. Like, I didn't feel like we were forcing anything. I'd said to him at the start, because the session was 25K at 10 seconds slower than marathon pace. But because I had already done 28K at 10 seconds slower than marathon pace, I just said to Scotty, like, let's just see how this goes, and if we can squeeze it a little bit closer to marathon effort or marathon pace, I'd love to give that a try. And the way the rail trail worked out, it was the one to Drysdale, so it's actually slightly uphill on the way out, and then you've got a slight downhill on the way back, which was also good mentally as well to have that slight downhill. And I think we had a bit of a headwind on the way out as well. So it was well organized in the way the session part was run.
Yeah, I'm just seeing on Strava here, picked up a few crowns as well. So there'll be some people copped an email after that run. Got the CR for the Port to Jetty. That's
Very good. I've been after that one. No, not really.
Was that the main goal going into Sunday's run, to knock over
Yes,
a few crowns?
definitely. It's the goal of the block, actually.
Will you consider canning a Saka if you do reach your ultimate crown goal on Strava over the
Oh,
next 5 weeks?
for sure. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Hey, with this one, thinking ahead 5 weeks to Osaka, look, it's on paper, this looks like a cracker. Like, let's sign him up for sub 250 now. But we know there's obviously a bit more context than just plain old numbers. Looking at this one, mate, and you've had a couple of days, or well, sorry, 24 hours to think about it. Thinking about Osaka, what are you going to take from this and implement for the race, or what are you going to do differently because of this run?
Oh, yeah, actually, that's a good question. So, well, I definitely would. This run was ended up being a little bit more of a progression run towards the end. And I do love to run a marathon in that style, like try and negative split if I can, because you just feel so good coming home and feeling strong. And I really felt strong on this run. I was like, sort of 5 weeks of 30K plus runs being like, okay, yeah, we're doing this. But one thing I would change was we surged a little bit and we had a few like 350 ones back to back towards the end. And then the last K of the 25, I just said to Scotty, okay, I can feel my legs now. So it was like that pace, the sort of 350s was definitely a little bit hot, and that beat me up a little bit, doing four or so of those. So I think just making sure to keep it steady, and then also towards the tail end, just like wind up the gears like very gradually as you go, not to do anything kind of sudden. But yeah, honestly, this is the first run that I've done where I was like, oh, maybe 250 isn't like a ridiculous goal. Because I think the whole time I've been like, 250 is ridiculous. Like, this is nuts. But I was like, oh, I actually kind of got like close to the pace I would need.
Yeah, well, I mean, looking just at the bars on Strava, you've really put together these back-to-back weeks, and talking about those 30 plus K long runs, doing at the end of the week, and then just lobbing in those big sessions, then yeah, I can see how that is starting to come together. Like, what have you got? Have you got anything in advance to how far out? Like, how long are you going to go? Are you going to do one big long run, or will there be a longer session, heading towards above 35 into 40 sort of range?
I don't think I'll go into like 40 range. I reckon it'll probably be up to like 36 max, which I'm fine with. 40 feels like a lot. I know a lot of people do that now. But yeah, no, I feel like 35, 36,
Definitely.
you know what to do for the last bit.
Oh, 111
Yes.
K week.
111K week. Oh, and the best part of it, the Calippos. So in the cool down, Scotty was like, oh yeah, so I heard the Run to PB guys like talking about Calippos. And I was like, oh, we've got a few in the freezer. So we put an ice pack in the car with some Calippos. And he's like, I've got a
Oh,
surprise for us at the end. I was like,
wow.
yes. And then I couldn't wait for the cool down to end. It was
So
so
you
good.
brought that up at the start of the cool down?
Yeah,
Okay.
after the
Yeah.
workout.
Because that'd be rough hearing that sort of K in or 8K in. Like,
I
it's like when you're on a long run, if someone mentions, going to a cafe for brunch or what they're going to eat, it's got to be in the last third of the run. Any earlier,
Yeah.
It's over. People just lose their head. Yes. No, that's what flavor do you have?
It was like a raspberry pineapple, I think.
Oh, nice.
It was very good. And they were still pretty frozen, so it was good.
Out of 10.
Pardon?
Out of 10. Rating
Oh,
out
10, 11.
of 10.
Yeah. Especially post long run. Like that thing's going down without many teeth marks on tiffin. Like
Yeah, definitely. Straight down the hatch. I saw you salivating a bit there, Crusoe, as well, when I was
Yeah,
talking about the
well,
Calippo.
mate, let me tell you. So Coles, actually, I don't know how long the specials last, but when I walked in there on Saturday and they had a box of 10 minis for $7, I couldn't resist. So that found its way into the trolley, came home. We had some, so there's five lemon and then there's five orange and lime. I think there might be four or five left from the weekend. Couldn't stop at one
Oh, you
after.
have it. Yeah.
Well, Nora even helped chip away at a couple as well. So no, delicious. I think, yeah, it's
Official icy pole of Better With Running podcast.
100%. Like, I know we discussed the Sunny Boy last week, but and the Sunny Boy is good, but it's a 7. But a Calippo is definitely a 10. And if it's hot enough, as Elise said, it's an 11.
Yeah.
One in each hand, it's an 11.
Well, Elise, so we look 5 weeks out. We're going to catch up in a few more weeks' time. You'll no doubt be laying down some big workouts. I think I was trying to coax you down to Melbourne for one. It's now going to be, oh, yeah, Feb 4. So that still may happen because
Oh,
originally it was 28th, but there's
cool.
been a few changes. So there will be a road to Osaka inside running. Collab with a bunch of things that basically the roads at Albert Park will be filled with a bunch of runners that are getting ready for the marathon and even Ballarat Marathon. So it's going to be happening on Sunday, the February the 4th. Probably about we're just finalizing details around 7 a.m. and there'll be people doing marathon sessions, bring your own marathon session, some tables out. And some Mizuno shoes to try on. So you might we might see you out there if you
Cool.
make it.
Yeah, I reckon I can make that weekend. So that'd be fun.
Tee up some of your Melbourne-based pacers. I know you've got a team in South Australia. You've got one down and people traveling down to Geelong to pace here.
A
So
pacer in every port.
yeah, you'll have the formation going at Osaka. The Tesla
Oh,
on.
that'd be nice.
Yeah, that's about it, Chriso. I reckon we've got some questions, but we might save them for next time we catch up.
So next time we catch up, it's going to be 3 weeks to go, which is nearly taper time.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah,
Scary. Scary. Every time you say that, it just puts a fear of, I don't know, something on me. Yes. No, we'll deal with 1 week at a time. Thank you. I'm happy with 5 weeks for the moment.
good stuff. People can follow you on Strava to check in on your progress, bring you some kudos, and no doubt, have a laugh at some of your titles because you're usually pretty good at
Thank you. Try my best.
that. All righty, we will catch up soon. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks, guys.
Mate, always fun to hear about Elise's training, but it is really heating up, isn't it? Like we're gonna chat, like you said, in when she'll be tape into the taper. Next chat will be 3 weeks out. There's some workouts that I think we're gonna be on the edge of our seats as these Strava uploads come up over the next few weekends.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to the next 14 days and just seeing what pops up. I think I remember speaking last time and just asking you how are these going to flesh out. So seeing the 5 by 10 minutes was a bit of a surprise at this stage, but
Yeah.
did a wonderful job. And then to follow it up with a quality long run like that, like 25 Ks essentially at marathon pace. So yeah. How that fleshes out over the next fortnight, I'm intrigued. So it's holding up well. Good
And
weeks. It's good.
also the thing is, like, we've been following this marathon journey, and probably on the podcast, the last we've done three eps, but like before that, we were sort of tracking her training and working through it. But it has been in some ways, a very consistent build up. But also, in the marathon block, you're kind of avoiding having these roller coasters of a little niggle coming up, losing a week, getting back up, and it can happen over a 12, 16 week block. That can happen. We haven't seen that yet. So, touch wood that you're kind of in. She's in this position where it's like, I think she's probably was talking about it earlier that the session before hasn't been absolutely blowing the doors off, but still been getting it done. And that's almost what you want in a marathon block. And when you have those big super sessions and those spikes, it's often when you have the real drop away and something happens, because maybe that super session you pushed a little bit harder and that's caused an injury. So I think slow and steady in this build is the key.
Yeah, correct. And that's it. It's like we always say, it's about stacking those weeks. And hey, so far, so good. So two more big weeks, and then maybe a third, depending, I guess, if Elise decides or her coach decides a 2 week or a 3 week taper. But yeah, no, loving it so far. She's doing a great job.
I reckon I think back to some of my builds where I've had some of the best sessions in the build, haven't executed on the race day. And
Yeah.
then I've had a build where I've been like, yeah, this has gone all right. And then had a blinder on the day. It's like you take the blinder on the day versus having three or four super sessions in there and not going well on race day.
Oh, and that's it. I think, everything that you're doing in a marathon block is towards that marathon for race day. So, yeah, if you end up having all those ordinary sessions and race day comes out, well, that's the thing that you probably go back and print out and go, oh, look, that's it. I'm only going to have ordinary sessions from now on if it's going to guarantee that result. So, yeah.
Hey, 80 Ks for you, mate. Another consistent week. But we had some 400s pop up.
Yes, we did. So yeah, this was a fun one. So 12 by 400s with a 60-second standing recovery and treating them like three sets of four. So whilst the recovery didn't change, it was just trying to get progressively a little bit quicker through each set of four, which was able to do. Had a nice morning for it. I think some of the weather that we've had up here recently, it's been humid and hot and pretty disgusting. But yeah, it all seemed to click. So it would have been Thursday just gone. So first set of four averaged around 78 seconds. Next set was around 75. And then the last four was probably around 74. But then running the last one, I was still feeling pretty good and had a tailwind. So I pinned the ears back a little bit and kind of treated that more like a stride as opposed to a rep and ran that in 70. So I was pretty happy with how that came out because I felt quite strong. But please keep in mind, as I touched on last week, the secret to running a good 400 is having a complete tailwind for the full rep. So I just ran them up and down the same piece of road and it was starting and finishing in the same spot. So for all intents and purposes, they've, pretty accurate. So yeah, happy with that. Pulled up really well afterwards. That you could feel a little bit of fatigue and maybe a little bit of lactic towards the end of the session, but nothing that I feel that impacted the quality of it. You could just feel the fatigue building up. I mean, I think a minute standing recovery is a really nice luxury to have in between the, 400 reps. So yeah, happy with how it came together. I remember doing a session similar to this. I'm going to say a couple of months ago where I was a little bit niggly through my glute and hamstring and only, and I say only, I averaged sort of 78 to 80 seconds for all my reps that day. So to be able to have the progressions in this one and sort of get down to paces that are fast for me, yeah, super happy with that. But yeah, once again, it's just another session, ticked it off. Hopefully it's a, I guess, another brick in the wall towards where I want to get to in it. Over the next couple of races, but look, very happy. It's nice to know that the legs can still turn over with a little bit of speed.
Question around your second four where you're sitting at 75s. How do you feel your form is at that pace?
Yeah, pretty good. I would get out of the blocks pretty quick with those. And I'm probably easing down a little bit over the last 50 meters, like not jogging it in, but just relaxing a little bit in it. So I certainly don't feel one of the things when I'm doing these sorts of reps, because I am very conscious of, I guess, overtraining or trying too hard, is that when I do that, my form just goes to complete shit. So it's just trying to run with relaxed hands and sort of keeping my vision up and looking ahead and just trying to keep everything moving in a straight line. And by that, I mean, I've got a bad habit when I'm tired, and it usually happens in the latter stages of races where I'll bring my arms out and around. It almost looks like I'm carrying suitcases.
Yeah, I've seen you just going towards the like baggage counter before.
And it's not a good look. So when I'm doing my sessions, definitely trying to do something about that. So it's definitely a work in progress, because I think it's still one of those things that when we're tired, we still revert to old habits. But yeah, that's something that I do work on.
Hold up, fine.
Yeah, good. I had a rest day on the Friday, which was great. That was programmed in. Very grateful for that. And then went out and did a 22K long run on the Saturday. I enjoyed this one. So Andy had 22K easy for me. And for Anna, I'd given her some surges in there. So after 12K, she had a 5:43:21 minute surge with a 2 minute jog in between each of those, and sort of starting out around, now I guess, half marathon effort, and then just gradually getting a little bit quicker with each rep as the time got shorter. So it was nice to tag along with those and be able to keep up. And it definitely finds another gear when we do some of that faster stuff. But yeah, I think we end up averaging in the 4:40s for the 22K. And yeah, I had a nap Saturday afternoon, definitely earned that. And just a nice, easy jog Sunday to round out the week, followed by a couple of Calippos.
Mate, there's a bit going on with trying to decipher some of your titles here. There was there's some Lee Kernahan, a CD cover, it looks like.
Yeah.
So you are harking back to your country Western days. And then Super Blast, we're on the feet.
Yeah, that's right. First run for the Super Blasts on Saturday.
What colour do you go?
So I've got the lemony colour. So blue at the bottom, and it sort of colour fades into the lemony yellow at the top. Enjoyed the shoe.
Cupcake in there.
Yeah.
Yes. Cupcake, we've got Subies and Super Blast. So can you give some context to this?
It's hard because I don't want to throw. I guess we look at it as a lot of people. I'm just going to go back and look at it because sort of make sure there's nothing. Oh yeah, here we go. Yeah, cool. There's a lot of people that live in our neighbourhood that are essential characters in our story, and they, you know, we don't call them by their real names, so we use a lot of emojis to try and describe them, but to try and put a little bit of context in. And please keep in mind, these are our own very lame attempts at humor that only we find funny. So I don't expect anyone else to find this humorous at all, or think that I'm a mature individual, because I'm not. But all this really is, so one of Anna's neighbors is selling their car. They've got it's a Subaru Outback.
Yeah.
So hence the Outback Club CD in there. Once again, I said they're our own lame attempts at humor that we find quite funny, but no one else does. Anyway, we're having a bit of a laugh during the week because Anna's a big fan of The Castle, loves the movie, can nearly recite all the lines. And anytime anyone's selling something, there's always, what does he want for it? Tell him he's dreaming. Yeah. Anyway, jousting sticks, mate, seven Eskies, jousting sticks. what do you call this love? You name it, whatever line you can think of. It's in the constitution, it's the vibe of it. Like, it, you know, you when we get on a roll, it's pretty much just the
undone.
Yeah.
Just a couple of references.
And particularly if it's hot and we get delirious. Well, yeah, we our humor becomes extremely hilarious to the two of us, and that's about it. But anyway, long story short, this guy is selling a car, and he had a bit of a price that would have prevented the sale. Anyway, we're having a bit of a laugh and saying, oh, look, if he pops into the dealership and gets a trading price, I guarantee you that he'd be lowering that price really quick when he cottons on to how much his car's worth. And sure enough, he did. So, yeah, we're just having a bit of a laugh about our ability to foresee the future. Yeah, so anyway, so that's all that is, but it's just us having a bit of a laugh at our own
Well, you got an achievement, mate, that you can put in the pool room.
Well,
Classic stuff.
straight to the pool room with that one. But no, we had a good laugh, and I think, look, I think that's why we enjoy our runs as much as we do, that whether it's for an hour or whatever it happens to be, a recovery run, that it's just very childish like humor, and it certainly helps the run pass by pretty well. So no, it was enjoyable, and it was pretty bloody hot. I think from memory it was 23 degrees, so we had a bit of a laugh that, oh yeah, we'll start really early to beat the heat. So we started at 5:15, and it was 23 degrees when we
Wow.
started, and I think it was
Jeez.
near like 80% humidity. So
Yeah, that was cool.
it was disgusting, the weather. So, and I think that's, once again, I think it was one of those runs, if you're doing that by yourself and just with your own thoughts, that would suck. But when you've got someone there to have a few laughs with, like, we got through to about 16K, and we're like, shit, we're nearly done. How good's this? So
Been really
yeah.
humid up your way. I mean, it's been bit, we've had some days down in Melbourne, but not to that extent, and not at 5 in the morning. Like, I mean, I'm not
Oh.
that early, I wouldn't know, but we had a session on Saturday, and it was better than we've had a couple of other previously, but it was still humid. Yeah.
Oh, and it's almost tropical up here.
Yeah.
We're used to the sort of weather where it's 40 degrees day after day after day, and it's a really dry heat.
Dry
But
heat, yeah.
yeah, whereas this summer so far, it's been, I guess, cooler. You're looking at 28 to 32 degrees most days, but that humidity's been around, and we've had a fair bit of rain as well. So
You've
yeah.
poor man's altitude training.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to claim it as that. I mean, we go to the Botan for our altitude work, but yeah, if we can use the humidity for a bit of poor man's altitude, we'll claim every bit of it.
Good stuff, mate. Rounded out the week nicely.
Now, very happy with that. Sort of, and purchase of the week was the box of Calippos. So, yeah, don't know if they're still on special. We'll venture to the freezer section of the supermarket again and grab another box of 10, because they've been a real hit in our house. Probably disappearing faster than I wanted them to, but that's okay. We can live with that. Yep. What about yourself, mate? You've logged another week. And I know, look, coming off last week where you name dropped sort of half of Victoria, half of the elite runners in Victoria.
I've been copping abuse for being more than usual for being a flog bit. Mainly from Brady and Matt, but
That's all right. Well,
yeah.
speak. How did you follow up this week? How did it how you know, what was the running company like this week?
It was good. Like I got 70 into the in the end I ended up with 77K. So another consistent week of just knocking out the recovery runs and like into a really good flow with that. Just not like hitting. Yeah, those hour runs just seem to be coming out a lot easier. Like some, even I've talked about, aches and pains. They're there on some runs, but not as much as nowhere near as much as they were. So they're kind of becoming to a point where some of these recovery runs, yeah, you just can get into an autopilot mode. And I think that's, I haven't had that for months. So that's nice to know. And then, yeah, going into the weekend, I did have a session planned on Saturday and actually Friday, Brady was coming down. He was down for a Lululemon event, flying the flag that he does down here. So he was keen for a run Friday morning. You had to get back early and yeah, make a few exceptions for people, and obviously Brady, I tend to talk to him like most, actually through multiple channels. I get various hats I'm wearing, and yeah, we speak daily. And I thought, yeah, we don't get a chance to run together. We often see each other at races, but when you're at races, it's sort of different. Like you're warming up, they're warming up. You just get it done, get in the car, sort of thing. So it's good to catch up with him, and had a couple of other people join us. Tommy Hall, Mr. Mizuno himself, and his mate Miles came down for a run, and Mads, Madeline Heiner. So she was in good form, and yeah, we knocked out. So I started at 7, knocked out an hour, and like doing that on a Friday morning, not going into a Saturday, was different for me because that's a big recovery when I'm usually doing ice. In saying that, I often take Fridays off this week because I was having Sunday off. I was like going all the way through. So yes, I was running. It was a 6 day in a row setup, but I was running, yeah, early and had a fair bit of recovery time. Actually had a run to PB, former run to PB athlete Shannon Stoneham, who are still good friends, and on Strava often see each other, and it was a bit of a flyby, and she did have a go at me for sort of having to take a double take that I was out at the tan at 7 a.m.
And
So
in shorts too.
yeah, in short, it was warm. It was warm even for that's a thing. If I could, often winter, because I'm a bit of a wuss, I won't run in mornings in the cold. If it was that temperature, I could definitely stomach getting up and doing morning runs. Because I was moving, like mobility wise, I was a lot better because it was a bit warmer. I got up earlier than I would, like 5:45, to sort of get the body moving, so it wasn't a drag. And yeah, actually felt pretty good across the ground. We didn't run fast, but it was just kicked it off, a lot of chatting, and just to get that done, and then yeah, recover into what was going to be a pretty solid session. 4x2K Saturday morning was on the program, and we've done some 4x5s, or we've done 8 minute reps. But when you're the 4x2K, in terms of the distance, going to 8K of the work, and then you throw in 90 seconds recovery, it's a 30 plus minute session, 32 minute session in the end. So a lot of my workouts have been under 30. They've probably been, we've progressed up to a few 25, maybe a 28 minute workout. But yeah, to do this at the intensity, and knowing that when you do 2K reps, like, yeah, it's a good honest session. You don't really hide from this. I feel like the minutes you can probably get away with a little bit more. I don't know, it's something about when you're doing distance reps versus time, maybe, that feels more pressure, because I think you've got the time to sort of look at.
2K is a meaty rep too.
Plan was, yeah, 340s for the first. Well, we sort of said, I was like, let's just sit on 340s, and 335 would be good to then sort of feel it out. And then if we can for the last few, get into 330s. And it was sort of step it up, but still feel like you weren't absolutely hammering it more. I guess the last in between, down to 10K effort really on the last rep. And yeah, it came out really well. First rep was 339s and was locked in. Like it felt, I actually felt like didn't have the brakes on, but it felt steady enough that I was like, okay, if we have to hold this. And I was thinking, I didn't really look at my watch till the end. I was like, okay, this is 339s, and yeah, it's not going to be too hard to kind of push this down a little bit. And then yeah, rep two was on 335s, and actually felt really good in that one. We're into the wind on rep two, so kind of almost force you to work on your form and push a little bit and like concentrate, lock in. And yeah, the 335, knowing that the last two were probably going to have a little bit into the wind, and then the last one was going to get a little bit of a tailwind. And yeah, rep three, 329s, and then the last rep, 322s, and
Oh.
felt good. I felt like I was not absolutely going to the well, but pushing on. And to do that off the previous reps, 90 second recovery is not, it's not a long time. And we were just jogging, like just very slow, but still keeping moving. And then, yeah, the last rep was really encouraging. So yeah, that's a big tick for me, a big, big move in the right direction.
Mate, I'm gonna be stoked with that. I saw this one and I had a look at those last couple of K and went, oh, hang on, what's happened here? And Strava's was starting to melt. I mean, people are cottoning on that, Zaka, you're putting together some solid sessions here. And even like to start out, you know, 3:39s and then come down incrementally and then sort of finish off with something strong like that in the 3:22s there, but actually having it come out smoothly as opposed to, you know, throwing everything at the wall and just seeing what the legs can do, and that you've pulled up so well. It's, you know, mate, I reckon it's bloody exciting. I know that, you know, it's been a slow build and you've had to be really patient, but geez, it's paying off now. Have a look at it.
Yeah, and like just form wise, it feels like my old running style has come back, and there's a bit around what Dane's been sort of working on with me in terms of doing some very basic drills on these mornings where, you know, maybe it's the Tuesday morning and a Thursday. They're small changes, but I think that with the gym, and I mean the 95% of it is being able to run consistently and knock out, you know, hour runs into 90-minute long run sessions week in, week out. Like, it's been very consistent 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, I know Gemma's sort of been, you know, saying to me the last, you know, it will click, and it's starting to really click now that, and like we go back to that session at the, you know, the track 4 or 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks ago, 1K reps, hitting 3:30s, now can feel like, you know, that 3:20s should be where I'm at over 1K reps.
Yep.
We'll see, but I'll start scoping out something for February and definitely March. Or want to get on, you know, maybe I'll look at Run for the Kids. Definitely, you know, winter's going to be the priority, but there's going to have to be some races before then. And I'm also conscious that like some of these sessions, like we know that you can get sessions going, but you do need a few races to really go and feel that extended amount where it's relentless racing, where you don't get the break. Like a lot of, you know, you get a session, you get a recovery. So
yeah,
you need to do some, and the thresholds help to a degree where you do 20 minute, 25 minute, but I will need to get into races and be comfortable that, yeah, it may be a little bit off where I think I'm at, but that next one will come out a bit stronger. So
yeah,
we'll see.
No, it's all part of the process. Like they're jumping into that race whenever it happens to be, like you go in there and you shed a bit of rust and sharpen those edges a little bit, then take that boost in performance into the next training block. Like it's as opposed to, you know, if we go back 6 months ago and it was just kind of, well, there's 1 week. Shit, let's see how this next week goes. Whereas you know, now we're talking weeks and months and blocks. So nah, mate, I love this. This is good. You're building up. We're talking about races now. It's not far away.
Yeah. No, I've got the keen, and then I know you got a pair of Alpha Fly 3s during the week, thanks to Julian over at the running company. I saw he did a lovely post about that, and I was in the same boat, mate. I got looked after by Jules, so I got a pair of Alpha Flies arrived today. So
very nice. I
need to get myself in some racing. When you got a pair of shoes like that sitting in a box, it's there's no more motivation than the opportunity to get in those bad boys. So yeah, mate, tell us about Julian and the experience you had there with getting these shoes, because they weren't easy come by.
Honestly, look, I am under no false illusions of where my pecking order is in the running community, and that's it's a hobby, and I enjoy it, but yeah, I'm certainly not an important person. I don't influence people. And the fact that you allow me to come on here and have a chat, I think it's really just an excuse for the two of us to catch up. And the fact that you push record and send it out to people, that's more a surprise. But yeah, I think I noticed a story come out from the running company Geelong, maybe a few weeks ago, and it was just inviting people who had an interest in the shoe just to register their details. And yeah, obviously with more info to follow out. Anyway, there was an email that came out maybe a couple of weeks after that just saying, hey, look, thanks for your interest. We're going to do a bit of a raffle for the people that have registered interest. We don't have many sizes or that many pairs of shoes, but rather than force you to get online and try and, fight for them, essentially, that we'll let you know the day before they're released. And if you still want to purchase a pair, just call up the store or visit if you're local and we'll hook you up. So anyway, I was fortunate enough to get a message on the Wednesday night saying, hey, you've won the lotto, essentially. You've got a pair of these shoes. But, oh wow, this is cool. This is a bonus. I wasn't expecting that. Anyway, I called up and very happily, I must add, handed over my card details so I could pay for these shoes. But it was probably the 10 minutes that I got to talk to Moose that I valued more than actually getting the shoes myself. And yeah, just having a bit of a chat just around, yeah, this is really thoughtful of you, because I imagine that this would have added a bit of extra work. Anyway, he was saying, look, there's not many pairs of these shoes that are going to come in the first drop. And, if it's anything like what Nike normally do, there's probably not going to be a lot of product to follow. And that's not to try and create false hype for people to try and get shoes like these shoes at any means possible, but that's just the reality of it, because that's what Nike do. And Julian had noticed, or and anticipated, but he's seen in previous releases of Nike's kit where people that don't even want the shoe, so we're talking resellers, bots, people who just want to stick it on the shelf as part of a collection, or essentially throw it up on eBay and see if they can't land an extra 150 bucks from desperate people, getting hold of it, and really just preventing the people who genuinely want to use it and run in it from having the opportunity. So he, I'm gonna say it was a raffle. I think, there's obviously people who had shopped extensively through the store, which I'm sure there's quite a number of people, but they were essentially given a bit more weighting in the raffle, and were, contacted and given first opportunity to try and purchase a shoe that, I know for me, I wouldn't have had an opportunity to really jump online and buy it until there was enough product out there where people weren't, I guess, desperate. If we look at the Nike release that went live on the 4th, I believe it was, that all disappeared in about 3 or 4 minutes. And multiple cases of people having shoes in their basket and then getting to the checkout and then something had gone wrong and they disappeared. So yeah, like I just anyway, I just thought, here's a guy who works in the running community. And look, he's a massive part of the Inside Running podcast as a co-host. And I know there's lots of hours that he invests in time in that. Obviously runs the running company in Geelong. So he's on the floor dealing with runners on a daily basis, but, also runs Run Strong online coaching. Shout out to those guys. So yes, I realize their competition for
No,
directly for what we do, but
they're doing great things as well. Like
they
we're both on the
are.
same page there. We know that, mate, the more people involved in running with good coaching, we're all for.
And that's what it's about. Like, we want to see everyone do well, and Julian is certainly doing well, but I was just blown away that someone involved in business was able to see past making a very, very fast dollar in just letting these shoes go online. And he went to the extra effort and the extra time and the extra strain on his staff, because as soon as it's tick 10 o'clock, that phone started ringing off the hook with people wanting to pay, like myself. I think I waited till at least 11. But yeah, it was going nuts. The phone was going off and people coming into store. And yeah, like if everything had been online, like it would have made their lives exponentially easier. So
Yeah, the
Yeah.
experience wouldn't have been.
Oh, God, no.
You're throwing, you're telling people to go online and there's no shoes, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're just, it's just a picture saying sold out. So no, but I really respect that. I think someone who's prepared to go out of their way for the betterment of others is always a wonderful thing. Let alone it being in a business where it's your livelihood. So I think it just speaks volumes of Julian as a person. And I know I've always tried to so I supported Julian when he was at Ballarat and then at Geelong, and he's gone down there. But it's just really reinforced that that's something that I want to continue to do in the future, because I'm blown away by just how much he cares about. Like it's not just as if he saves those shoes for all the elite people that live in and around Melbourne, or it's just his close mates that he runs with. And I'm under no false illusion that he probably had people that he'd met like once 10 years ago slide into his DMs and go, hey mate, remember me? We used to play footy together, just wondering if you can flip me a pair of shoes. So he would have obviously said no to a lot of people, and he stood by his principles and his values. And yeah, as I said, and I'm probably repeating myself a little bit, but yeah, just blown away. And I think if there is people who haven't had the running company experience, and you're somebody who traditionally just looks for a special online, or perhaps just waltzes into the athlete's foot, or someone who isn't exactly able to give that, I guess, expert advice and spend some quality time with you, I would urge you to, jump on the phone, or if you are local to Geelong, go down to the store there and give them a try and see what the experience is all about. I can guarantee, I know I am prone to over-exaggerating things in the attempt at generating a bit of humor, but it'd be well worth your time, particularly if you have a keen interest in your running. Just get in the car, go and have a conversation, try some shoes on that you haven't tried on before, and yeah.
Well, I think that's, yeah, I mean, that's it's great words you've had there for Julie and the running company, but also that's just really good advice for people to go to a store like the running company and they're experts, they're in the game. But yeah, try shoes on that. Yeah, if you're online, you're always using, you're going the same, like looking at the same shoes, or, there's, you can actually have a chat to the staff at the running company and they will help you. Try some different things because they'll know what your running is. They'll talk to you about what you're training for, what kind of mileage you're doing, and they'll get it. You're not gonna go to an athlete's foot. You're not gonna ask you how many Ks you're doing and what kind of training you like, what workout you did on the weekend, and what you're doing, what marathon. Like, it's just, it is a different experience when you're talking to a specialist store like the running company. So anyway, we'll put the link in the show notes because I think if you haven't heard about them, there are multiple stores around the nation, so people
Oh,
can get them.
and that's it. Like, there's no such thing as a bad running company store. They're all super good. Like, anyone that I've ever dealt with, whether I think most of them I've had conversations, like the guys at Yarraville are terrific, Clifton Hill are fantastic, Lilydale as well, absolutely brilliant. Ballarat, like there's just, you name it, you walk in there and you're always treated real, like just you feel like the most important person in there when you walk in. And yeah, you just always feel really spoiled. So I think to be able to, if you're someone who haven't had the opportunity to go in, if the opportunity comes up, I'd just go in there. Because, I mean, shoes change so much in a 12-month period anyway, with all the, like, everything gets updated and there's different foams and different uppers. And yeah, I think
Well, when you're talking running nuffies like us and those that are listening, what better place to go into a store that is full of runners and running gear that people who are passionate and love the sport can help you with any of the gear you want. So I think we'll wrap it there, mate. Hey, just a quick one before we go. We put a post up on recent results in Jan because there's a bit going on in Jan as we're already a couple of weeks in, and two bays happened over the weekend, so there was a number of athletes that went around there. There was, yeah, it's all listed on the socials. They just put out an Instagram story, and a feed post. But yeah, you can see some of the results. Some people have started the year with a bang with a park run, and oh, we had Houston Marathon go down to Preet over there. We had, mate, one thing we one obviously off the back of last week, we should mention the Tassie rivalry that went down and the Night of Fives down in Hobart. Those who were tuning in, there was a live stream, I believe, that was happening. But then the results came through. Paul Reason, he ran 18:03. So he ran a big PB. He was a little bit disappointed. He didn't quite get under the sub 18, but got isolated just on a pack and just got a lot isolated for a few laps and just couldn't quite hang on. But big run from Paul. And Matty Morgan ran 18:45. And again, he was really happy with that considering the build up and gets a short focus on this 5K. So they both, from all accounts, had a good night and enjoyed the rival. I know Paul's enjoying having the bragging rights, but there's already talk of a round two over a different distance.
Both the boys did really well. I think, but I mean, obviously, Maddie's first time racing on a track, so yeah, I think maybe the rematch might need to be in the early hours in Launceston on the roads there. But we'll wait and see what the boys come up with for that one.
Just heard the grapevine. He's actually now got access to a track.
Oh,
So, you
see,
know,
mate,
just after you do a track race, you find
the
out you can get on and do it. I don't know if it's withholding that just to keep the collar tag, but yeah, interesting time. Where are you at with your you meant you alluded to it, Chris. Are we gonna have some news about some track workouts coming your way, or we?
Mate, I have to pay to race on the track for me to get a track workout. So,
You might have
no.
to join a club. Is that there?
Well, as I say, it'd be easier for me to get in the car and drive over to Bendigo to run on the track with the bats on a Tuesday night when they're there, rather than get on the Shep Athletics track, because the local ass club use the track on a Tuesday and a Friday, and obviously I've got Shep Runners Club training on a Tuesday and a Thursday, but Fridays they do races. But you've got to be a member of the Shep Club to head along and have a race. So yeah, but that's okay.
It's all right.
There's
Big
some.
minor clock, so I probably shouldn't bring up this topic because things might go off the rails. But no, I just thought I'd tease it out here because I thought you alluded to something a few weeks back that there was some news around it. But we'll just
Well.
soon.
We were thinking about having a handicap race on there for the Shep Runners Club on a Sunday just to try and aid my track racing schedule over the summer. But we decided that we found the perfect date for this weekend. We just do it on a Saturday at Parkrun. So we've combined. So the Runners Club are doing their 5K handicap within Parkrun on Saturday, and I'm going to have a bit of a hit out as well. So yeah,
Oh,
we'll go
that's
down there and. Yeah, breaking news. I don't think anyone cares. But
great.
no, I'll be heading down to Parkrun and yeah, won't be using the new Alpha Flies, but we'll throw on maybe the Vapor Flies potentially
Yeah.
and go down and have a hit out and see if we can't hit something in the like low 17s as a bit of a tune up for Bendigo in a few weeks' time for the 5K frenzy.
You reckon you go sub 17:15?
I'd
That's a go.
like, yeah, I'd like to sneak under it. I think, oh God, and look, time's such an arbitrary thing because really it doesn't matter. I'd like to go sub seven, like 17:10 or below. It's not much quicker than last time, but yeah, it'd be nice to run that, but feel in control without needing to try and sprint the last 400 meters to sneak under. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, nothing else. It'll be a chance to really have a full send at
Yeah, because we know that's the only way to go when you race. Oh
Hey,
God.
we have some world. Let's do world record chat next week because we've got some developing news there. There's still articles that are. There's still some things that we need to confirm. We've got Canadian running news coming back to us on something that may have come across the desk.
There's been some exciting news, something we've been holding our breath for some time. And
trying to get more of the info that's
we're dotting some I's, crossing some T's, because we know
conflicting.
sometimes we need to fact check some of our stuff, and this is definitely one of those times.
Mate, but next week we'll also have a Run to PB guest, team Run to PB athlete for an interview. So that'll be that's always fun to hear about their journey. And obviously that'll be in next week. And we'll have the park run recap now.
We will. We'll have park run. You'll have done some more sessions. We'll be able to see if you've run with any more celebrities over the weekend. We've got Calippo chat potentially. Run to BB athlete next week. This world record too. Believe me, it is worth the wait. We don't want to spoil it just yet, but yeah, it's something to behold. And yeah, I mean, that's just, mate, we've got another 10 days before we record again, so anything could happen.
We'll wait to see if we can get everything finalized on that one. All right, mates. We'll regroup and chat more running next week.
No worries. Sounds good, mate. Thank you.
Hey, mate.